I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt.
Public Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John. I am so grateful to be here with you today. I will reintroduce my guest here in just a minute, but let's try to do a proper top of the hour opening for our second hour. This is the second hour. It is now 4:01 Mountain Time here on Talk with John on Republic Broadcasting Network. Saturdays from 3 to 5 Mountain Time, 4 to 6 Central, you can join me here on Republic Broadcasting. Now, I also happen to have a radio show that I do from 10 to noon, Mondays and Tuesdays, on K-Talk Radio, AM 1640, and that's for you that are in Utah local. And also, you can listen to it on ktalkmedia.com. Now, the big key is now we're here on Republic Broadcasting. And we're going to open the phone lines. It's 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. We're going to have Hank on for another half hour. We're so grateful that he is joining me. Hank Muntzer is a January 6th defendant, shall we say. The government has decided they're going after him, but he is he's a man of freedom, man of vision, and he's willing to stand up. He suffered a lot, gave up what is meant most to him, and he is willing to stand up and be heard and stand up and be counted. And a man like that, I want to get him in front of our audience. Now, before we go any further, though, I do want to do a proper start to the top of this hour. I want to give out my show prayer, as it were. No need to bow your head, close your eyes, just the prayer of my heart. I hope my show is a gift back to my forefathers, the founding fathers. May it be an acceptable token to our Father above. Then, show mantra. Where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there will be liberty. And the greater the Spirit of Christ, the greater liberty will be. As I've shared many times before, I believe liberty is above freedom. Liberty is the morality. It is the spiritual side. It is the action side of freedom. Freedom is the ability to do something because you can. Is what I would say it roughly boils down to. Liberty is, should you do it? Is it moral to do it? Is it wise to do it? And I really appreciate men like Hank standing up for liberty. So, Hank, any kind of further thoughts that you want to tie up before we go to the phones?
Yeah, so I was going to finish up on why I believe Trump will be back here pretty quick. First of all, he cannot be sworn in until January 20th, or he cannot serve out these last two terms. And once again, run another term. So there will be no 2024 if he's brought back in too soon. So I believe the Supreme Court has probably already made a ruling at this point. I don't believe they released it yet because it did the Roe versus Wade. Look how they tore things up. And all they did is revert it back to the states. So it's a state issue. And look how crazy they went. So I believe they're going to announce that the election was stolen. What people don't realize about the election being stolen is the military knew this was coming. They watermarked all the ballots. They've been putting everything in front of a black light. So there's a non-radioactive isotope on each piece of paper that basically shows the fraud. I believe that evidence was presented to the Supreme Court. The ruling will come out, I think, fairly quickly here. and then things will start to move forward, and then we'll go through what they call a form of continuity of government once certain people are removed, which very well may put Grassley, because the other people like Pelosi and the rest of them, will be arrested, put Grassley in there. I believe Grassley is a good individual. He will continue his continuity of government until they place Trump in there. But the other thing is, when they raided Mar-a-Lago, they were looking for the nuclear codes to the warheads. If actually Biden was president, he would have that. That's what they were actually looking for. They're trying to create a war with Russia and China, which isn't going to happen. There's a necessary scare event coming. Do not fear. Patriots understand that. Everyone else who doesn't understand there's a plan by the military is going to freak out. But it's the only way to wake people up to realize how badly we've been lied to, both by the media and by the government. So
you think Trump still has the nuclear codes?
Yes, I do.
Wow, that's a pretty big statement. Okay, let's do this. Let's go to the phones. We've got some callers on hold, and let's go to them. And then I've got a couple follow-up thoughts if we still have time. We're going to go to 4:30, you're in my time. And so let's do this. Ed, in Utah, what's on your mind, sir?
Yes, thank you very much, John, for having this hero on. And I do mean a hero, Hank. I almost feel guilty that I was not in Washington like you and many others were, standing up. Some of the worst in that have glommed on to the Real Patriot Movement, John, are people like Sean Hannity, Sean the neocon. Every time somebody brings up January 6th, it's like a mantra with him. He says, yes, unlike the left, not condemning the 2020 BLM riots, he goes, I condemn January 6th. I'm thinking, you condemn January 6th. What part of it, like you pointed out, 1.3, 1.4 million American patriots showed up on behalf of the stolen election for Trump. That was a good thing. And even if it's a sad day when Rachel Maddow on the left puts out more truth about January 6th in 30 seconds, where she said it was a different group of people, the hundreds tops that were there prior to the end of the speech, already busted windows and the Ray Epps breach. That was the criminal part, and those people are being let off the hook right under Sean Hannity and Fox's nose. While they're going after people like Hank here, and in a real way, where some of them are in the bottom of that gulag, where Julie Kelly at American Greatness is doing a good job in pointing out and bringing out the information and you parlaying it, John. So this is where we're at. I sure hope you're right, Hank, about the Supreme Court, and they would have to keep it close to the vest and get the security forces in place.
You brought up Rachel Maddow. Everyone should watch that video that she said. We're in the disinformation campaign. If you know anything about how Q is operating, the CIA gives her talking points to the news agencies 4 o'clock every morning. All the news agencies know what to say. Rachel Maddow was given, I call her Maddow, sorry, was given those talking
don't,
points.
Don't apologize, because I call her that myself.
No, I'm not apologizing for that. I just want you to know who I'm referring to.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah. But you see, we know what Rachel Maddow and the Biden people directly, we know what they are. They are communists. They are in for the kill, attempting to. But when you have supposed friends throwing every patriot under the bus, like Fox News does, and like Sean Hannity in particular. And Sean Hannity, one thing that did come out of the January 6th, embarrassing for him, in his tweet to Jenna McEnany, in the text, I should say, where he said, no talk, tell Mr. Trump, no talk about the stolen election, and maybe make a deal to release Hunter Biden. Sean Hannity is a horrible human being, in my view, on many fronts, but that tops it. That takes the cake. And right now, he's acting all big like he's on our side, Hank, because he has to. Just like as Steve Bannon says, we smoked, as in all of us, the movement here, Merrick Garland out. He didn't decide to come out. He was smoked out. So that's where we're at here. But you, Hank, being on the tip of the spear, out there fighting, the least I can do is help your situation, and I sure am going to as I try to help others in this movement, support this network, and different people.
Well, I'll tell you, it's because of good people like you, Ed, that I get to know about individuals like this, so and that help pass out information about the Republic Broadcasting Network. So, Ed, I want to say thank you for what you do as well. You're an important piece to this puzzle. Every once in a while, someone finds themselves in a situation where they're able to take some action. I don't know why John offered me the opportunity to be able to talk to people like you, Ed, as well as Hank, and I consider it a privilege because I'm just standing in for the audience. I know that. God bless
you,
Ed.
Well, you two are the heroes. Thank you.
And the other thing we need to be aware of here that we may want to be careful of on some of these people, even on Fox News, you got to understand that Rupert Murdoch controls things and what they say. So, unfortunately, there's some people on Fox News that want to tell the truth, they can't. There's some people that aren't going to, they're going to skew it away and they're going to pull it back here pretty quick. It takes good actors to pull this whole brainwashing scenario we're all dealing with. And there's some good people out there that you wouldn't know they're good people because they're playing a little bit of the game as they're walking the line here, but they're about to blow this whole thing up. So be upset that they're not telling the truth, but don't judge them yet until you find out the whole story. Call it out, start telling the truth, not to believe the news, if nothing else. That's what we need to do right now. Don't believe the news because they're going to say two different things and they're going to backtalk back and forth. But you understand that when we do things like that, it's necessary to deprogram the brainwashing that's been created. So disinformation is as important as good information. But when all the news media says two different things, no one's going to believe the media. Why is that important? When they can't control us anymore.
Well, Hank, I want to say thank you for what you're doing. And as you can tell, I'm sure many people come up to you and thank you for what you're doing and tell you they're grateful for it. As Ed shared, he was grateful for it. And let's do this. Let's get to the next call. Marcus in Idaho, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You were talking about the conservatives going to the state heads or the state areas and showing up in 100,000 people strong. I think right now what we have is a bunch of wolves and sheep and sheepdogs that are conservatives that are running to the hills right now. They see anything that is patriotic and they're sniffing the wind going, is that a play? Is that a front? Are we gonna lose our heads in this? Because everybody's running afraid because of the fear that has been engendered when the government has become tyrannical to this point. And I think that people saying that we're going to stand up as conservatives, I have a business, which I just had to shut down because I don't have enough people. But it is a patriotic business, and it's very clearly patriotic. And I've found that the number of patriots coming to the business has totally collapsed. And I can't figure it out, but I have to do what I have to do. But what I see is that the patriots are dismembered. They're not connecting with each other, and they're not able to connect with each other because of the whole weight of the institution coming down on them. And when I say institution, I don't mean just necessarily the FBI or the DOJ or CNN, MSNBC, but I also mean Fox News hosts, because they're part of the institution also. When they're on the radio, they're spewing talking points and putting people to sleep. So we've got a great portion of this nation which is not getting the fire in the belly of Christ and the truth and just ready to say, you know, we need to take back this nation and replace this idiocracy with truth and justice. And no one's talking about the January 6th people. I mean, they're in there for a year and a half. There's nothing across the news waves across the nation which is saying again and again the trumpet. These people are in solitary confinement for a year and a half, and they're not getting any justice whatsoever. No one's talking about that.
Great point.
And so
I can address some of that to help you, because this is really good points that you're making. First of all, we all need to understand how our enemy operates. Look at Black Lives Matter. Look at Antifa. They're hired by the government to do their things. The reason why people like police and all that back down is because they surround them. So it's not whether we get together in a group, because, see, what they've always done is anytime we gather in a group, what's the first thing to infiltrate us, create a problem, and blame us? Like January, we all got together on January 6th. Look what they did. They turned us into these terrorists, and they put it on the news. Because the news is the thing people believe. And I run to people all the time. I said, I'll show you the video of what really happened. I don't want to see it. I saw it on the news. I believe the story the news put out there. That's the brainwashing reveal. They don't want to actually hear the truth. Here's what we need to do as a community of people in order to defeat them. Because if you know your enemy, you can defeat him with his own tactics. Say the police were to come and kick my door down and want to take my guns. If I try to fight them, they were just going to consider me a crazy person, shoot me, and it's all over with, blah, blah, blah. What happens if the community shows up and surrounds the police and runs them off? When we surround them, we win. Don't hit them head on, because they'll create the narrative and they set up an event. But as soon as they show up to try to take us down, we surround them and prevent it from happening. That's how we gain control. We get the media covered, get the people on our side. We're not creating an event that can be steered in the wrong direction. There's too many cameras.
We don't have the media on our side, basically, number one. But what we do have is being fishers of men, being creating those concentric circles inside of our communities where we can trust each other and listen to each other and be human. Even if we're on the different sides of the aisle, that we can have those conversations and build that trust in Christ, that so that when something does happen to the neighborhood, we as a neighborhood stand up together. And that's what I think is fishers of men. That's what I've been talking to people for the last year about. And I just want to make one last point or one last thought. I don't know what you think of it or not, but I think somebody in the Trump administration, before he left office, planted something inside of those records, which they were taking out of there, knowing that they could be used against Trump. And I think the Trump administration people found those records and deleted them, took them out, and they were waiting for the time, and that's why they raided Mar-a-Lago, because they knew something was in there, but the Trump administration trumped them on that. I don't know what you think about that, but that's my thought.
I would say just the opposite.
Marcus, thanks for your call.
I believe, because it's a military operation, I believe what's going to happen is they made sure that Trump is covered all around, because they're going to make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed. They ain't going to allow them to get away with anything. Second thing is, if they plant information, which is probably what they'll try to do to even try to arrest him, the Mar-a-Lago cameras were still running. Why is that important? They know exactly what they took. They have the evidence on it. And all we're doing is setting a trap for them. They're going to accuse us of these things, use the law for it, and then eventually we're going to go after them for it. And you're going to find out that pretty soon Barack Obama and Big Mike are going to be dealt with here pretty swiftly, because they actually have a lot of that information, which are considered nuclear secrets or classified they shouldn't have. So this is going to backfire. They're going to go after him for this, and we're going to go after him for this. So if you want to watch what's happening, watch Kash Patel. He's very important, Department of Defense, and he's an attorney, and he's telling you what's about to happen. Watch him very closely.
On the other side of the break, let's hit the last few points, and then I'll say thank you for joining us. But, Hank, really appreciate you being here. Appreciate what you're doing, and you're willing to stand up, be strong. All right, this is Talk with John. We'll be back on the other side of this break in 3 minutes.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John. Right now I have Hank Muntzer with me, and we're going to finish up. We've got one more phone call. I believe we have Tom in Utah. Tom, we've got a lot of Utah callers today. Fire away, Tom.
Ed and I are good neighbors and drinking buddies. He has coffee and I have soda pop. Anyway, just wanted to tell you, Hank, in 2005 and again in 2010, I learned about the security of D.C. I forgot his name. A representative and I got caught coming out of his office too late. We were trapped within the steel gates in that section of the Russell Building. But then later, Fran Drescher, the nanny, gave me a hug and an embrace in front of the Russell Building. And what was bizarre, every office I went to from that point on asked me, well, you know Fran Drescher, the nanny? I said, well, yeah. They gave me free passes to get in. I didn't have to even go through security. But I knew that there was a central command because my former representative told me, don't say anything, either in our office or even out on the mall. They have those shotgun cameras and microphones surveilling everything, everywhere. And when I heard about the break-in in the Capitol, I said, that's nonsense. That's impossible. That command center, if anybody acted inappropriately, they would have locked those steel gates, would have rolled down and slammed everybody in or out. Is that, that's what you're...
Whatever and happened to those pipe bombs?
Yeah, you couldn't even pass wind without the control center knowing. Anywhere in the mall, my representative, Chris Cannon, said, don't tell me anything that's sensitive until we're off the mall entirely. Because we're listened to. And this was in 2005.
They can practically hear a pin drop. There's cameras from every angle. Nothing can happen without them knowing. It is absolutely impossible.
And the SWAT team's on the edges of the roof.
Yes.
And I saw officers on the roof edges all the time with their weapons. You can't get away with anything over there. Anyway, just wanted to share that. John, thanks for bringing him on.
You're welcome, Tom. Thanks for your call. And I believe it or not, I was about to mention what you've shared with me before this, and I was going to be bringing that up to him before the end of our interview. So, Tom, thank you. Have a great day. God bless you. All right, let's get back to Hank. Hank, we've got about 3 minutes before we're done. So, what do you want to share with America, share with this community? I mean,
let me bring up a couple things that might give everyone real hope. We're in a chess game here, and we've already won this it's been like 4 years ago. I mean, the match was over. These people were finished. Trump did a very unique move. So we can always trust our military. We got really good men in our military, but the command chain of the military, like Milley and a few others, have been compromised. We cannot remove those people without upsetting the entire military. Thanks to Trump, he put everything under Space Force. And if you know what Elon Musk has done, everyone knows there's about 80,000 satellites in space. There's actually more than that. There's probably close to 500,000. Because this is a global war, and it can only be handled by the military. In order to take down the deep state, we got to take them down worldwide. We didn't have enough eyes to be able to do that. We could hit anything on the face of the earth within 1 centimeter. We just couldn't see it all in live, real time. Thanks to Elon Musk, we can now do that. Because he took all the intelligence from all the intelligence agencies and put it under Space Force. Here's how he's leveled the playing field. You're going to love this chess move. If Space Force gives a command from E-1 to General, and the General steps out of line, E-1 can shoot him. Once we identify who our enemy is so the public understands that, we have total control of command and control everywhere. That should give you all hope. We need to back up our military because they're going to be the thing that saves our country. And the people that fought for our country for so long, that have died and played these political games and wars, sacrificed themselves to keep these bankers and these business people in business, it's been a really sad day. They did what they were supposed to do, but they were betrayed. Now we're going to take our country back.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. There is so many in our country right now that actually is just fine with the way our country is heading into socialism and communism, Marxism, totalitarianism. If it's going to be saved, it's going to be good people like you, like this audience that makes that happen. So we need to remember our founders. Need to remember who they supported. Hank, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
I think you're crazy.
Republic Broadcasting Network. Sam, if you would, let's skip the next break, but let's go. Let me get right to it. You know him, you love him. His name's Michael Letts. He's the founder and CEO of InvestUSA. We got a lot to cover in a very short period of time. He said he had a half-hour interview and only got through like three-quarters of it, so let's see what we can do. So I called up my good friend, Michael Letts, and said, hey, what are your I said, I find this raid on Donald Trump very interesting. And I was going to actually call you like two or three late days ago when we heard that Merrick Garland had no idea what was going on. And then
Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, then he came out and said, no, actually, I knew, because he knew that would make him look like a complete moron. Now, that man is smart. He's wicked smart, extremely wicked smart. But he is totally wicked. So, and then I have also had the thought, there's no way, well, Biden, Joe Bob, the occupier of the White House, he doesn't have the foggiest idea. The man that the mainstream media wants to call president, he doesn't have the foggiest idea what's going on. But his handler sure knew that this was up. And in fact, I think they may be a part of the figuring out process. So, let's just get into it. What do you think what's the biggest, let's start with this question. What are the biggest concerns with them doing this to Donald Trump?
Well, they have a couple of major concerns, John. First of all, this is the first time in history this has been done to either to a former president. And their basis for doing so is just totally off kilter. We're now discovering now that the attorneys, when they met in June the 2nd, to go over with the high-level Justice Department and members of the FBI, these alleged material that was classified that was still kept, which, of course, President Trump did stick his head in the meeting and say, look, told his lawyers to make sure they fully cooperated, let them take anything they wanted. They took 15 boxes at that time. They deliberately left boxes behind. They asked Trump's people.
Now, wait a minute. This is about the previous raid, right? You're talking about the previous raid, correct?
Well,
not raid,
but previous meeting. Previous meeting. That is correct. And before then, see, here's what makes it, doing it in sequence, here's what makes it so ironic. First of all, you have a president who is leaving office. Now, you and I both know the president of the United States does not put on a pair of old jeans and a T-shirt and start packing his own boxes, okay, in the Oval Office. Second of all, you know that those records are not kept in the Oval Office. So you have assigned personnel from the National Archives System who assist their aides in packing up the material. Now, people may ask, your listener may ask, why are they packing up material? Every administration has a presidential library ever since we started that off with Truman. And because of that, they're under the act. They're to take their papers, their personal belongings, their papers, and of course that's what they put in their presidential libraries that are open to the public for any point in time. They also have the right to take particular documents and segments as long as it is known that is where they're located and they are safely secured. So you have this, and here's the precedent that's been set. First of all, President Obama took over 30 million documents that were never recorded or classified. We don't know what they were. And the archives asked that they be returned. President Obama said that he would not return them, but he would put them in a file format and make them available to the public and available to the National Archives. That's been over 6 years ago, and nothing has transpired. He's not delivered on any one of those promises. I have not seen the FBI.
I am so surprised.
You haven't seen the FBI execute a warrant to go in there and seize any of those documents. Second of all, so back to President Trump, his aides are packing these things. Now, there are the documents in question are supposedly to come from the Pentagon. Well, his liaison to the Pentagon, Cash Patel, testifies and has a deposition under oath that any of the documents that they're looking for, that they had brought over to the White House, were declassified by the president. The president has the sole authority to do that while he was still president. So there are no classified or sensitive documents that were removed because they were declassified ahead of time. Thirdly, you go to the next phase. This has been 2 years after this now, so why did it take so long? Suddenly, someone from the National Archives says that there are some documents missing. That's interesting. How did they know which documents were missing? How do they assume that they were in boxes that were taken down to Mar-a-Lago? But anyway, they filed a complaint, and the FBI and the Justice Department followed up that complaint. They went down and had a meeting, 1st of June, looked through the boxes, had ample opportunity to take anything they thought was classified, or we have two categories, classified or sensitive information. They took 15 boxes. Ironic, the president didn't care and allowed them to take whatever they wanted, but they deliberately left boxes there. Now, it has just come out a few minutes ago that their attorneys, talking about Trump's attorneys, actually drafted together a letter, a memorandum, for the signature of the FBI and DOJ. They had reviewed everything that had been left behind, and there were no classified or sensitive information documents left behind. Now, here's what makes it worse. So you have all this evidence that there's nothing there. somebody files a complaint again, that they're sure that there's information there, specifies where it's at. Now, that ought to tell you something. How would anybody know what's inside the president's home or where information would be? Goes instead of the normal procedure. The normal procedure would have been simply to have gone back to the president and to his lawyers and said, look, we've got information that perhaps it was over in the corner we didn't see in the room, but there's some more information. We'd like to come back and look, make sure that that information is or is not there. They chose not to do so. That would have been their first and easiest alternative. The second alternative, they're saying, well, we're not so sure the president would have cooperated. Well, you won't know unless you ask, but we'll grant you that. Is if you were that scared of the president, then why didn't you go to court and get a subpoena? You didn't have to do a search warrant. You could have gotten a subpoena. Court could have ordered the president that, hey, we think there's the following documents, and we're ordering you to bring them. And, of course, all he would have had to do is say, yes, they did leave them in a corner. Here they are. Or, sorry, but there is nothing there. It then could have worked out a mutual time where the FBI could have come back and searched those areas. But no, what they did was they cherry-picked a U.S. magistrate who has quite a long history with Trump. He has a history of being on record of calling him unfit to be in office, unfit to serve. He has a record of, this is what makes it extremely concerning, his standard or his principles. He was served as an assistant U.S. attorney in South Florida, helped prepare the case against Epstein and his pilots, resigned the day before that case was to go to trial, and then turned around and was hired by the Epstein team the next day to represent them. That's the most unethical thing you could do.
That sounds really fishy, Michael.
So they take this particular, now there's 24 different U.S. magistrates they could have used. They picked this one to sign and to get this particular search warrant. They then go in unannounced. They raid. That is the correct word. They raid the home. They know the president is not there. They refuse to allow the president's counsel to accompany them just so that they can verify what they have taken, where they have searched. Now, here's what's ironic in a search warrant. Search warrants are very specific. You have to say, these are the documents that you believe to be missing. Here is why we think we're there. Here is the person who said, hey, I was walking down into this room. Guess what I saw on the floor? A bunch of classified documents. They have to be able to identify how they have cause to know that they're possibly there. Then they have to identify where they're at. They can't just walk through the home and take anything they want. They can't just go through private property. But in this particular case, they went through Melania's wardrobe. Now, you tell me what kind of document you think you're going to find in Melania's private personal closets.
If I was a 21-year-old Mel who was single.
yeah, I understand.
but as a man that's trying to be a really good Christian and who is married and who is a son of a wonderful mother, I really shouldn't. She's not. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. They go through a safe. There's nothing now. Get this. We were able to talk more about this as time passes, as we get more information, because more information is being released. The search warrant itself was released. There was no listing on that search warrant that allow them to go into anyone's private safe, private quarters. They did it anyway. And on their particular, they have to have a receipt, what we call a receipt, where they, here's what makes this ironic. They give you a receipt, here's what we've taken. Well, here's what happens with typical search warrants. You watch what they take so that you know there wasn't a $20 bill laying on the counter that's gone now. And they make a list of everything that they are taking. And they have to, that list has to correspond with what is permissible within the search warrant. Well, that did not happen in this case, because you remember they wouldn't let anybody in there. But here is the other ironic part about it is, of course, the media is reporting. They came to seize illegal documents under the Espionage Act that he had had, that dealt with nuclear weapons, a nuclear program, and perhaps he was funneling nuclear secrets to foreign governments.
Well, none sounds of that like Bill Clinton.
Yeah. The ironic part about this, John, is there is no mention of any nuclear issues, period, any search warrant or any of the receipt attachments. So that's a total fabrication. And quite frankly, what we're saying now, again, understand that this is not just coming from Cash Patel, his liaison to the Pentagon, but this is also coming from the National Security Director in his term, Ratcliffe, who very specifically clearly states that when it comes to declassification, that is the sole prerogative of the sitting president of the United States. This was all done before he left office. And bear in mind that he did not pack any of those boxes. So you're going after, that's like me going after you, John. You weren't anywhere around what was going on. It had nothing to do with it. It could very easily have been that someone who was assisting in getting that packed up, i.e. National Archives, because we know the National Archives, unfortunately, under previous administrations, most of these agencies have been politicized. And this is what is so ironic and what is so scary in this whole situation. By politicizing an organization, you give them the opportunity to set a stage for, or to cry out, you know, call out foul play, even if there is none, and create a sense of panic and fear in this country. And that is not just morally wrong. That's treasonous, John. That is setting up the United States of America on the world stage to be viewed as weak and could cause tremendous problems to our national security. So you have all this transpiring. Now, we've got to put it in the package. Why would anybody do this? Well, you remember we have been talking for some time on your show, what is the ultimate agenda of the left socialist Democrats? And that is full control of the populace so that they can decide how to run the country without your input.
We talked Michael, about, we I'm gonna also, Michael, I'm sure, also going to throw in Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham. Question. Minority
all the rhinos.
Speaker?
Yes, all the rhinos, all the rhinos. But you remember they can't accomplish that as objective with an armed populace. So they have to create a sense of fear, as they did with COVID, and then have a mechanism in place to implement seizing and taking all of our weapons. And we've talked about that for quite some time. Their mechanism is to, first of all, part of this whole process is to, A, destroy the image of local and state first responders and law enforcement. Because you remember, they go to church with you. They go shopping with you. They're not going to violate or will have a greater tendency not to violate the Constitution. So they need to create a federal police force. Well, they've been doing a heck of a job of defunding and slamming and causing local police and state police to want to quit. You see now the budget, 87,000 IRS agents whose job description is also to be able to carry a firearm and use deadly force if necessary. They also have in their budget the creation of an expansion of the U.S. Capitol Police all across the country where their only mandate and charge is to secure the four blocks of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. So they violated that provision. So they are setting the stage to be able to put into force, into place, the ability to come in and seize our weapons. And now what they have done is you have seen now the nail in the coffin. What I mean by that is they have very clearly demonstrated that they are not concerned with politicizing a law enforcement agency. Department of Justice, Attorney General Garland, the FBI with the director, Christopher Wray, and how that's easy to make that statement is, as we've stated, from anywhere from ignoring the 30,000 emails. And you remember those emails from Hillary were not just matters that were of national security or sensitive or classified, they knew what they had there. They ordered them back, and she destroyed them. I mean, it wasn't just a matter of arguing whether we're going to get them back or not. They were scrubbed and destroyed. That's the obstruction of justice on top of
That's something I was going to point out. They're, the same thing that Donald Trump is being accused of that they're going after is the exact same indictment that they were things that they were trying to indict Hillary Clinton over. And we had someone, I can't remember which individual it was, but said, we're not going to politicize this.
Yeah, well, here's where they, I'm glad you brought that up, John. That's part of what I was saying is that here's where they just have so screwed this. I've never seen such a screw up in all my life. James Comey, when it came to Hillary Clinton, very clearly said, okay, we acknowledge that she had 30,000 emails. She shouldn't have had them. They were classified. People could have had access because you remember they're still, and they never followed through with an investigation, but there was discussion that the Russians, among others, had hacked in to those emails and had already downloaded and compromised our national security. That is treasonous. That is under the Espionage Act. You're in big trouble if that happens. But somehow that investigation just fell off the table. Never got pursued with Hillary. But he came back and he gave the reason why he didn't get pursued. James Comey said, you know, we acknowledge that she had this, that she did wrong in destroying them, scrubbing them, et cetera. However, it was not her intent. She did not intend to do any harm to the national security of this country. And so without the ability to prove intent, we do not have a case. Now, go fast forward to Donald Trump. How could he have any intent when he didn't even know they were there? He didn't even pack them to begin with. He did not order they be scrubbed, destroyed, or anything along those lines. So they've already set the standard. There has to be intent. There's no document, no phone call. There's nothing recorded that would ever show any intent from President Trump to do anything harmful to national security. So there would have been no reason to issue this search warrant. Now,
well, something I also want to throw out is who classifies and declassifies? Who gets to declassify stuff? Well, isn't that President Trump?
Declassification is the President of the United States. Classification is depending on the agency, Department of the Defense, Pentagon, Department of Justice, etc. But it is the president himself who makes the decision as to whether to declassify information. And that's just the way it is. Somebody says, I don't like that. Fine. Then that's not an executive order. That's a congressional act. That means it's a law. So if you don't like it, go tell Congress to change it. But right now, that's the law we operate under.
Well, I'm sorry. I think that's the Constitution gives that separation. Congress can say whatever they want. And so we have a former AG of Obama that got a bunch of Mexicans, some Mexican bad guys. Furious. You know, Fast and Furious got them a bunch of firearms. And when Congress said, hey, why don't you come over here and talk to us about it? Didn't he tell him, yeah, sure, I'll be right over and I'll bring over everything I've got?
He said no.
He told him, go pound sand.
They said you're in contempt of court, and they said, so, you can tell what you wanted. We're not doing it. That was the end of it. So you see, I mean, there are so many other things that we can continue to discuss that are totally out of order on this particular case. Their purpose in driving it is this. We want to make sure that we instill a sense of panic in this country, that we feel comfortable that our federal law enforcement will take care of us, and that that becomes the narrative for November. And why is that? Let's work our way backwards to what I just said. Well, the narrative currently for November is that somebody's not doing a very good job. Inflation's through the roof. Boy, we could go on to all the things that are happening. The border's insecure. I mean, blah, blah, blah. We could go on and on and on. And people don't like the way our country's headed. They don't like the crime. Second thing we just talked about was where our federal government is going to take care of, protect you and I and make us safe again. But what we're seeing now is the truth. The federal agencies have been politicized. And what it means is if you don't agree with what their objective and their narrative is, they're either not going to help you or they're going to come get you. One of the two. Either one's not good.
Okay. So, I talked to you off air before the show, and I said, hey, can you come on really short notice? And you said, you bet. And one thing I said to you is, when I first found out about this, it was about 6 o'clock Utah time. I was furious. I got on, looked up news articles, started reading about it. I was furious. I couldn't go to sleep. Normally I sleep like a baby. I can fight and argue, and my wife can tell me, you know, you're the biggest jerk face ever. And I'll be like, no, this got me going. So at about 1:30, finally, that following morning, you know, in the evening, at night, 1:30, it hit me. It was like, wait a minute. If they can do this to Donald Trump, it's about time that we can do turn around as fair play. Obama, you haven't been out of office for 7 years.
Correct.
Hillary Clinton, there's a number of things that it hasn't been 7 years. Merrick Garland, well, we'll get you. Bill Barr, I wouldn't mind going after him too. I mean, this puts everybody into play now.
It does, very much so. And you asked the question when we first started this interview. You know, I mean, what does all this really mean? What it simply does, in layman's terms, is it re-edifies to the American people. There is a two-tier justice system. There is the desperate attempt to change the narrative so that you will vote differently in November. And there is a desperate attempt to seize and to maintain control. You know, it's funny they said that it was the Trump people that were trying to do the domestic terrorism and the insurgency. It's actually just the exact opposite. They want to maintain power. They want to maintain control so they can complete their objective of controlling you without your firearms and making you bow to a tyrant, to a third world country. And, John, they're getting really close to getting that accomplished.
Well, let's pretty much wrap up there. Michael, thank you for being willing to come on in such short notice. Will you please tell us a little bit about your organization real quick, and then we're going to wrap up the show. And so I'm just going to say, God bless you all. Have a great Sabbath. And Michael Etz, will you please tell us a little bit about your organization real quick?
Sure. If they want to go to www.investusa.org, that's investusa.org. It's a charity. You'll find all this information. A list of things you can do to help support that thin blue line. We need you desperately now if we're going to keep America safe.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate you being there, brother. Thanks for taking care of us. Thanks for coming on. Republic Broadcasting Network, this has been Talk with John. You have a fantastic weekend. Like I said, have a great Sabbath. And may the Lord be with you all.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.